You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
We're going to go ahead and dive right into the message this morning, and we're going to continue the series that we've been teaching the past few weeks called Sent. What we've been talking about for the past few weeks is God's purpose for our lives and living with a sense of mission, living with this sense that God is sending us into the world to be his people, to do his work, to live for his purpose. God has a purpose for your life. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, like there's a calling on your life. God is sending you into the world to represent him, and we have some work to do. We've been talking about that. So let me just recap this series for you, kind of remind you where we've been. In week one, we talked about how we're sent to share the good news. We talked about how somebody needs your story. Somebody needs to hear how Christ has changed your life. Never underestimate how your story and your testimony can affect someone's life. In week two, we talked about how we're sent to serve, and then we went out and did it. We had an amazing time together at Serve Day. How many of you are with us and participated in Serve Day? Didn't we have an awesome job? So proud of you, church. Great job. So awesome to see so many of you go out and love and serve and make a difference in our community. And then last week, Pastor Bodie, our friend from Transform Church in Philadelphia, was here, and he talked about how we're sent to love and how love isn't seen until it's sent, right? We have to put our love into action. I know he blessed you with that great message. Today, I want to talk to you about how God is sending us to bring reconciliation into this world. We are sent to reconcile. Now, let's talk about what that word means for just a moment, okay? This word reconcile means to restore friendly relationships between, to cause to coexist in harmony, to make or to show to be compatible. I know it's not a word that we use every day, but this is something God is calling us to do. Now, hold that thought for just a moment. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, my wife and I and our kids, we just got back from vacation. We had a great time together as a family. We took our kids out west for the first time ever, took them to see the Grand Canyon. It was a beautiful thing. It was amazing. They went and saw the Painted Desert as well in Arizona. And then we drove over to LA to see my brother and his wife and my nieces and nephew and got to see their church. And I actually got to preach at their church, their church planters and pastors as well in LA. And we just had an amazing time together. It was one of those special vacations. We made some memories that will last a lifetime. But for any of you who are parents and you have a family, you'll understand what I'm talking about here. We inevitably find ourselves with being on the road and being with kids for 9 days, breaking up some arguments and some fights. Come on, parents. You know what I'm talking about, right? Like we found ourselves saying, like, can't you guys just get along? Can't you guys just find something that all of you want to do? Can't you share? Don't make me pull this car over. I will pull this car over if I have to. Come on, how many of you parents have said that before? And I can't be too hard on my kids because, you know, we did the same thing. I'm one of four boys. I had three brothers. And you know, I could hear my dad saying those things. You know, the scary thing is you grow up to become your parents. You find yourself saying the same thing your parents said to you. We drove our parents crazy. We would be fighting in the back of the car. And my dad would say every year, we're never doing this again. That's it. This is the last vacation we're ever going on. And then, of course, we'd always go again next year. Right? But, you know, we find ourselves saying to our kids, somebody's got to be the peacemaker. Somebody's got to be the peacemaker. And, you know, we laugh at that with kids, but the same is true for us as adults. Somebody's got to be the peacemaker. And sometimes we have trouble doing it more than our kids. I mean, you married people, you'll identify with this. You know, you married people every now and then, you have a tiff with your spouse, right? Something you disagree on, a little hostile negotiations in the house. And then what happens is silence ensues. There's this wall of silence, and it's like the Cold War sets in, right? Like nobody's talking to each other, and somebody's got to break the silence. Like somebody's got to break the ice. Like who's going to go first, right? Who's going to be the peacemaker who's going to reconcile and bring reconciliation. Can I tell you this morning that as followers of Jesus Christ, this is who we're called to be in the world. We're called to reconcile. We are being sent out into the world by Jesus as his followers to bring reconciliation, to restore harmony, to bring healing to broken relationships, to extend the grace of God to others that was extended to us. This is something that we're called to do. Now, the Apostle Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He actually writes about this, and we're going to go straight into the text this morning. If you have your Bible with you, find 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in the New Testament or whatever digital device you're using. The words are going to be on the screen. I'm using the NIV translation today, but we're going to dive into this. Let me set this up for you. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian Christians, this group of Christians who lived in the city of Corinth, and he's describing to them the saving work of Jesus Christ. And then he gets into talking to them about his motivation, the motivation behind his ministry. And he reminds them, I wasn't motivated by money. I wasn't motivated by power or prestige. Like, I'm compelled to preach the gospel because of the love of Jesus Christ. The reason I brought this message to you, Corinthian Christians, is because I'm compelled by the love of Jesus Christ. And then he begins to teach on this subject of reconciliation, what God has done in our lives, and what he's calling us to do to work out in our relationships and in the world around us. So let's look at it, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And here's what I want to do. I want to give you some ideas today, actually three ideas, how to become someone, how to be someone who brings reconciliation. See, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, this is something you're called to do. Okay? No matter where you are in your spiritual journey today, maybe you're here and you're not even quite sure what you believe. I think most of us want more peace in our lives. Anybody want more peace in your life? Come on. How many of you want less drama in your life, more peace in your life, more healthy relationships, right? You want to see reconciliation happening around you. Okay, that's what we're going to talk about today, how to be someone who brings reconciliation. I want to invite you to take some notes today. When you came in, you should have received some note sheets. If you have the Redemption app, there's a spot on the Redemption app where you can take some notes. If you don't have our app, you can go to the website and get it and take some notes. Write these things down today. Here's the first thing. If we're going to become people who bring reconciliation, number one, we have to see people through the lens of grace. We have to begin to see people through the lens of grace. How we see people makes a huge difference in whether or not God can use our lives to bring reconciliation. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at verses 14 through 17. The Apostle Paul writes this, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." Now look at this, verse 15 is going to explain what that means. "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." Pause right there for a moment. So the Apostle Paul is saying we're motivated by the love of Christ. It's compelling. It's what motivates us because we've come into contact with this message, with this idea that God has poured out his love for us when he sent his son Jesus Christ for us, when he went to the cross, gave his life for us. And so we no longer live for ourselves. If you're a follower of Christ, we now live for God's purposes for our lives, for Christ's purposes for our lives. And then keep going. Look at verse 16. It says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here." Pause right there. Stop right there for just a moment. So if we're going to become people who bring reconciliation, we have to be people who learn to see others through the lens of grace. I love this phrase in verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "So from now on," in other words, in light of all that God has done for you through sending his son Jesus Christ, how he poured out his love and his grace on your life, in light of that, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Some translations say from the flesh. We no longer see people according to the flesh. In other words, according to our natural human tendencies. We don't see people that way anymore. How many of you know that all of us are capable of having the wrong perception of people? Can we just be honest? My hand's up. Every one of us, how many of you know we're all capable of rushing to judgment, of seeing people the wrong way, of having the wrong perception of people? A few years ago, we were in downtown in the city, and we took our kids. Actually, we had taken our kids to go see the Statue of Liberty a few years ago. We were playing tourists in our own backyard, right? And we were coming back. We were on the subway, And we were sitting on the subway, and this lady came in. She was Muslim. She was covered from head to toe, like in the hijab, right? Like the black garb. And all you could see was just a little slit for her eyes. She had this black outfit on. And my son, Michael, my middle son, he was, I think, like 2 or 3 years old at the time. He started to smile, and he got really excited, and he started pointing at this lady, and he started saying, "Darth Vader! Darth Vader! Darth Vader!" And we were, like, so embarrassed. We were like, "Shh, be quiet!" Right? Like, as our three-year-old child shouts, like, the most politically incorrect thing you can on the subway. And, of course, he was innocent, right? Like, this is what it reminded him of. He saw this lady in this black outfit, and he thought of Darth Vader. And we laugh at that, but here's the thing. We're all capable of having the wrong perception of people. See, how does our world look at people? Because the Apostle Paul says we no longer look at people the way the world looks at people, according to a worldly, a fleshly mindset. How does our world look at people? What's the natural human tendency? We can so easily look at people and put people in boxes, right? Label people, oh, they're black, they're white, they're Hispanic, they're rich, they're poor, they're fat, they're skinny, they're ugly, they're beautiful, they're suburban, they're inner city, they're whatever, right? Like, it's so easy to just look at people and quickly size them up and put them in a certain category. Or we have these interactions with people, and we can rush to judgment about them, right? Or we can harbor, like, negative vibes and feelings and thoughts about people and rush to judgment so quickly. And here's what Paul is saying, like, because of the work of Jesus Christ in your life, you no longer see people that way. Here's why. Look at verse 17. Because we are new creations, right? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. Christ transformed you. He changed your way of thinking. He changed your heart. He changed the way you see people. I love the Message paraphrase of these verses. Look at this. Message version of verses 16 and 17. We don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. Oh, that'll preach. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. We certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone, a new life burgeons. See, Christ changed us. He set us free from human patterns of thinking and negative ways of looking at people and having perceptions of people. He set us free by his grace because we know what he did for us. We know that we look at our lives and that Jesus loved us despite our sin, despite our brokenness, despite our failures. He offered us his grace. He loved us before we loved him. And we know that if God saw us that way, if God saw the best on the inside of us, then we can look past people's stuff and we can see the value that people have as human beings made in his image. Right? Our eyes have been transformed. We don't see people the same way. So what a tragedy it would be for us as Christians to go back to patterns of negative thinking and negative perceptions, sinful perceptions of people when Christ has set us free from that. The gospel brings reconciliation because it changes the way we see people. You can put that in your notes today. The gospel brings reconciliation because it changes the way we see people. It changes, we see people through the lens of grace. It changes the way we see them, how we look at people. See, we don't see people anymore the way we used to. We now look at people through the lens of grace, and we know what God saw in us. We know how God looked at us. It changes the way we see others. See, we not only begin to see people the way God sees them, but we begin to look at them and see them the way God saw us, and it changes everything. Changes everything because God looked past our faults when he extended his love and his mercy to us. And so it changes our pattern of thinking. You know, I'm wearing glasses this morning. I've got these lenses on, and these are for real. I need these. Like, I'm blind as a bat. If I take these glasses off, you'll have to lead me around by the hand, okay? My eyes are really bad. And on the back of my license, it says that I need corrective lenses to operate a motor vehicle. Like, these are corrective lenses. Their job is to correct the light as it comes into my eyes so I can see properly. Can I tell you, this is what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He has corrected our perception, our vision, so that we look at people and now we can see the world through healed eyes, eyes of grace. That's what he's done in our lives. And so if you want to be a person who brings reconciliation, you have to be able to begin to see people through the lens of grace. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. Okay, talking about being people who can bring reconciliation, who can bring God's healing and grace to the world around us, to relationships and people around us. The second thing is this, you got to pay it forward. You got to pay it forward. Let's look at this, verses 18 through 19. The Apostle Paul says this, all this is from God. Like, everything that we just read, this amazing display of God's grace and love. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. That's good news. Aren't you glad that God is no longer counting your sins against you? If you didn't come to church to hear anything else, that's what Jesus Christ has done for you. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And so here's what Paul says. Like, not only did you experience reconciliation between you and the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ, but God has given us as his followers ministry of reconciliation. So here's the idea. Pay it forward. How many of you are familiar with this concept of pay it forward? Like, when somebody does something nice for you, you pay it forward. You do something nice for someone else. If God blesses you, you bless someone else. There was a movie about this back in 2000 with Kevin Spacey and Helen Hunt. And Kevin Spacey was a school teacher who challenged his junior high class to go out and come up with an idea that would change the world. And this one kid came up with this idea of pay it forward, right? And he set into motion this like wave of human kindness that changed the world. That's the idea of paying it forward. What are we paying forward? We're paying forward the grace and love of God, the forgiveness of God that was extended to us. We share with others what was freely given to us. That's what Paul is saying here. Look at this verse 18. He says, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. God did this for you. Now you go and you pay it forward to others. Freely you've received. Freely you can give to others what God gave to you. I love the Message version of this. Verse 18 says, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that God, in settling his relationship with me, was gracious to me. Anybody? You're thankful for that? Like, in settling his relationship with me, God didn't hold my sin against me. He didn't come to me in condemnation and heap guilt over me, but God came to me by his grace when he sent his son Jesus, and he was gentle with us. He was compassionate with us. He was forgiving with us. And so in that same spirit, he calls us to go out and to settle our relationships with others. So let's talk about what that means for just a moment, okay? So there's this one sense in which God, the Father, reconciles his relationship with himself, with us, through his son Jesus Christ. We might call that vertical reconciliation between us and the Father. See, God the Father is perfect. He's sinless. He can have nothing to do with sin. And you and me, we are flawed human beings. We live under this curse of sin. And so we sin, and God can have nothing to do with our sin, but Jesus Christ came and he bridged the gap between us and the Father when he came to this planet in flesh and blood, when he went to the cross, died for our sins, was the penalty for our sins. He resurrected, conquered the grave. He made a way for us to be reconciled with the Father. Okay? But it didn't stop there. It didn't stop there. God also wants to do this other work of reconciliation in our lives. You might call it horizontal reconciliation, in which God wants to bring healing to our relationships. See, because we're flawed human beings, we not only have a tendency for brokenness in our relationship between us and God, but we have a tendency for brokenness in our relationships with other human beings. How many of you have discovered that this Christianity thing would be wonderful if it was just between us and God? Wouldn't it be easy? The problem is all these other human beings on the planet who make it difficult. Are you with me? And so we have this tendency, this natural tendency for brokenness in our relationships because people hurt us. People lie and cheat and steal and disappoint us. And they're not there for us when we need them. And they say things about us that aren't true. And they're hurtful. And so we have this brokenness that comes into our relationships. And so God didn't just stop with reconciliation between us and himself. He wants to bring healing into our relationships. He wants to facilitate a horizontal reconciliation between us and other people. And so I know that as you hear that this morning, some of you might be thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, how is that possible? Like, how is that possible? You don't understand what that person did to me. You don't understand how messy my divorce was. You don't understand what that person said about me. You don't understand about how my dad walked out of me. Like, you don't understand how deep the hurt is. Like, I can't do this on my own. And I would say to you today, you're right. You can't do this on your own. The Apostle Paul says, all this comes from God. All of this comes from God. This work of grace in our lives, this work of healing in our lives, this work of forgiveness in our souls, like this is actually something that comes from God. See, reconciliation is only possible because of the work of Jesus Christ. The cross is the place where God made peace with humanity. The cross of Jesus Christ is the place where God made peace with us. He made a way for our relationship with him to be repaired, to be reconciled. And so the cross becomes the template by which we can pursue reconciliation. The cross becomes the pattern by which we can experience healing and we can forgive others. We follow the pattern of what God did for us. And so this is only possible because of what Jesus Christ did for us. I know sometimes we feel like giving up. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we carry around a hurt or offense. Maybe some of you right now, there's a hurt, there's an offense, there's someone you think of right now as I'm talking about this. And in the natural, we feel like giving up because it's so hard. Because, like, it's not even in our own human capacity to forgive that person and release, like, what they did to us. But can I just give you some good news this morning? It's okay because God has done the work for us and all of this comes from him. God actually wants to do something in you that's not natural. It's actually supernatural. Come on, how many of you have discovered that forgiveness and grace, there's nothing natural about it? And so if it feels outside of your capacity, I want to just encourage you to open your heart to this work of reconciliation that God wants to do in your life. See, when we come into the process of forgiving someone, and forgiveness is always a process, by the way, when we come into the process of forgiveness and healing in our restoration, in our relationships, what happens is we come into the process knowing what God did for us. We don't come into the process, you know, with our own ability, like we're going to just really try hard at this, or we don't just come into the process and decide whether or not the person deserves our forgiveness. How many of you know they never deserve your forgiveness? How many of you know that you didn't deserve the forgiveness of God, though? And yet he poured it out on you freely when he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And so we come into the process knowing what God has done for us, knowing that we came to the equation empty-handed, and yet God did everything for us. And so the cross becomes the template by which we can pursue peace, by which we can pursue healing, by which we can pursue reconciliation. God not only wants to reconcile his relationship with you, but he wants to facilitate healing and reconciliation in our relationship with us. And so all of this is from God. All of this is a gift from God. And so I just want to encourage you today, embrace this gift from him. It's something that comes from outside of us. If you're going to be a person who can facilitate reconciliation, you have to pay forward what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Here's the third idea. Is this helping anybody this morning? You guys are kind of quiet. Here's the third idea. I know you'll wake up as we round the third base here. Here's the third idea. If you want to be somebody who can facilitate reconciliation, okay, if you're a follower of Christ, this is who you're called to be. Here's the third thing you have to do. You have to occupy the middle ground. Come on, turn to somebody and say, occupy the middle ground. Preach to somebody. Occupy the middle ground. You don't even know what that means yet, but we're going to talk about what that means. You got to occupy the middle ground. Look at this. Verse 19, the Apostle Paul says, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. In verse 18, the Apostle Paul calls it the ministry of reconciliation. Can I tell you this morning that when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you call yourself a Christian, guess what? When you did that, you signed up for the ministry of reconciliation. Congratulations, you're signed up. And there is no opt-out clause. There's no opt-out clause. It was in the fine print. You may not have known it. When you signed up, when you said, man, forgiveness for my sins sounds really good. Healing for my soul sounds really good. Like God's mercy extended to me freely. His son pays the penalty for my sins and I'm restored to God. Yeah, that sounds really good. When you signed up for that, if you're a follower of Christ, you signed up for the ministry of reconciliation. Because this is something that we're all called to do. This is a calling we have in our lives as Christians, okay? If you're here today and you're not quite sure what you believe about faith and God, no, that's okay. We're going to let you off the hook. You didn't sign up for this. But if you're a Christian, this is something we're called to do. And so here's what Paul's telling us, okay? Paul says, not only did God the Father make a way for your relationship with him to be reconciled, not only did he do that, not only did God the Father make a way for us to experience healing in our relationships with other people. But God took things one step further. He took one thing step further, and he calls us to go out and do in the world what he did for us. To go out and bring healing wherever we can bring healing. To go out and be peacemakers wherever we can make peace. To go out and be those who bring reconciliation wherever we can possibly facilitate reconciliation. God is calling us to be those who stand in the middle, who occupy the middle ground. To be a minister of reconciliation is to be somebody who occupies the middle ground. You know what the middle ground is? The middle ground is that space that separates people from each other. It's the distance between people. I'll give you an example. Something happened in 2014 that stuck in my memory. Some of you remember the headlines from back in 2014, but there was a crisis in the nation of Ukraine in Eastern Europe. And what happened was the president had decided to align Ukraine economically with Russia, and the vast majority of the people of Ukraine, their will was to be aligned more with the EU. And so there was a big problem that happened. There were protests, there were demonstrations, and there were violent clashes between protesters and the police and different government officials. And I think something like 100 people died in the streets of Kiev. And in the middle of all this, something startling happened. You see a picture on the screen here. The Catholic and Orthodox priests of Ukraine stood in the middle between the protesters and the people. They stood in the middle as a visible demonstration of who we're called to be as Christians, that we're ministers of reconciliation. And they didn't take sides with the protesters. They didn't take sides with the government. No, they stood there and they prayed and they cared for the wounded and in some cases actually administered last rites to people who were dying. And they stood as a symbol, a powerful symbol that as Christians, we're not called to take sides. We're called to occupy the middle. We're people of peace. That's who we're called to be. How many of you know that we live in a world where the space between us, the middle ground is growing? Like, we live in a more divisive culture than ever before. How many of you know this to be true? Like, we have so many things that are dividing us and pulling us apart. Religion pulls people apart. Politics pulls people apart. I don't think we've ever been more politically divided in this nation in my lifetime. Politics pulls us apart, doesn't bring us together. Race, we have racial issues in this country. Socioeconomic status pulls people apart. There are relational issues. The divorce rate is high. Like, there's a lot of problems, a lot of things, a lot of issues pulling people apart. And I want to give you a little demonstration this morning. Olivia and Justin are going to come help me this morning. This is the culture that we're living in right now. This is like the world that we're living in right now. It's a divisive culture where like the middle ground seems to be growing. Come stand up here, guys. Seems to be growing between people. And what happens is the culture in the world that we're living in, okay, all of these issues are dividing us. So our culture says, well, you're white and you're Asian or black or Hispanic. And there's problems between you. There's racial issues dividing you. And then our world says, you're Republican and you're Democrat, or you're conservative and you're liberal, or you're rich and you're poor, or he said this about you and he said that about you, and you said this about him. And see, there's issues pushing us apart. There's a middle ground that's like growing, that's constantly dividing people, all of these issues that are pulling us apart. And here's what can happen. As the Church of Jesus Christ, as Christians, sometimes we can get sucked into it. We can get sucked into the drama. We can get pulled one way or the other. In fact, in the past, sometimes the church has been tempted to align itself with one side or the other, to seek power. We've made some mistakes there. But what can happen for all of us, it's so easy for us to get caught up and to take sides and to point fingers at people and to label people. Do you know that when you label people, it puts a distance between you and them? I see people doing this all the time on social media. Oh, you're just liberal, whatever. And you know what happens is that's a way of distancing yourself from someone. I'm not going to understand you. I'm not going to find out your background, your story, where you're coming from. I'm going to label you and distance you. That's what our world is doing all the time. That's what's happening between white and black and conservative and liberal and blah blah, rich and poor. We're always being told all of these things that keep us from each other. And as Christians, we can actually get sucked in. We can find ourselves being pulled one way or the other. We can wake up each day and kind of think of ourselves as in being in one camp or the other. But can I tell you, as a Christian, you represent the kingdom of God first and foremost. You are a representative of God. You are a minister of reconciliation. You are called to stand in the middle. And here's what we do as Christians. We don't take sides. We don't add to the drama. We're called to be the solution, not the problem. We're called to bridge the gap between what separates people and bring people together. That's what we're called to do. This is a good time to say amen. This is what you're called to do. We're called to stand in the middle and find a way to bring people together. We can't solve all the problems, but we're going to be a part of the solution. We're not going to add to them. We're going to see ourselves as having a special calling to stand in the gap between people and facilitate understanding and facilitate grace and healing and love. That's who we're called to be. You guys can sit down. You did a great job. Thank you. That's who we're called to be. That's who God is calling you to be a human bridge, a literal human bridge of His grace, to bridge the divide that separates people. Can I tell you this morning, this is who God is calling us to be as followers of Christ, as His church. He is sending us out to be agents of reconciliation. Like your life, you are a living, breathing picture of this work of grace. Like your life is like a lit up billboard pointing people. Like people should be seeing over your life this work of healing that God has done deep down in your heart, deep down in your soul. Can I tell you that this is what Jesus Christ did for us? Can I tell you that Jesus bridged the divide? Can I tell you that the divide between us and God the Father because of our sin was great? But Jesus came and He walked in flesh and blood. He went to the cross and He died a criminal's death. He gave His life for us so that you and me could come so close to God that we could call Him Father. We could be known as sons and daughters. Come on, you got to get a hold of this today. Jesus bridged this divide and He brought us together. And here's what God is saying. God is saying, the very thing that I did for you through my Son, I'm calling you to go out and live in this world. I'm calling you to go out and be someone who brings healing. I'm calling you to go out and be somebody who brings restoration and reconciliation, that the very grace that I poured out on your life would overflow from you. You're not called to take sides. You're not called to get caught up in the drama. You're not called to get stuck in bitterness and unforgiveness like everybody does. No, we no longer see people according to the pattern of this world, because whoever's in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Amen. That's who you're called to be. You're called to be a minister of reconciliation. And I want to encourage you this morning to get a hold of this. Get a vision for this. Like, what would your life look like to embrace this truth? What would it look like for all of us to see people through the lens of grace, to lean into what this transformation that God wants to do in us and put on a fresh set of lenses to see people not just for who they are, and not even just to see people how God sees them, but to see people the way God sees you, the way God saw you and your sinfulness and your brokenness? How would that change things? How would that cause us to be more patient, more loving, more gracious, and more understanding? How would that change your life? How would that look for us to commit ourselves to say, God, like, I realize as a Christian, this is something that I'm called to do. What would it look like for you to more wholeheartedly embrace that? See, some of you, there's some needs around you. This is going to look different for everybody. There's some needs around you. There's maybe some family that are in crisis. Maybe there's a marriage around you that's in crisis. Maybe you're in the middle of a family right now where there's brokenness and there's hurt and there's unforgiveness. And like God is saying, like, I'm calling you to go get right smack in the middle of that. And I'm not calling you to take sides. What I'm calling you to do is stand in the middle ground and facilitate love and healing. I'm not calling you to be more a part of the problem. I'm calling you to be the solution. Come on, how many of you know the Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the solution in this world? We ought to be the solution. If nothing else, we ought to be speaking love. We ought to be speaking grace. We ought to be speaking healing and speaking words that cause people to come together and understand each other more because of what Christ Jesus did for us. And so would you stand with me? I want to pray for you this morning. And we want to pray a prayer to commit ourselves to this, to commit ourselves to this work that God is calling us to do. And I want to invite you, would you pray with me? Would you make it personal? Why don't you stand with me? Why don't you bow your head? If you're new to our church, we always have a moment of reflection. We're going to sing a final worship song in just a moment. would you pray with me? Let's commit ourselves to this. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your love. And God, I'm praying that today you would give us a greater revelation of your love. As the Apostle Paul said, how great, how deep, how wide is the love of God which is for us in Christ Jesus. God, I pray that today we would have a greater revelation of what you did for us. God, not that we would try harder, but Lord, as we have more of a revelation of your love that was so freely extended to us, Father, I know it'll change the way we're able to give it to others. Father, we are praying that you would help us today to have eyes to see people the way you see them. Lord, we repent today. We repent of the times that we've so easily rushed to judgment. We repent, God, for the times that we've harbored negative thinking, negative patterns of thinking about people in certain ethnicities or whatever. And Lord, we're asking you today to give us eyes to see people the way you saw us, to give us lenses and eyes of grace. God, change our hearts, change our minds today. We want to be new creations. God, we're asking you to do a work in us that comes from you. Comes from you. Father, we acknowledge that we can't do it on our own. God, we're asking you to help us to embrace this calling to be ministers of reconciliation. Father, we commit ourselves to this. Would you pray that with me? Father, I commit myself to this. I commit myself to this work. Father, use me to bring your peace. Use me to bring healing. Use me to bring understanding. Use me to bring your grace. Use my life, God, to be a living, breathing demonstration of your grace, Father, to bring reconciliation, to stand in the gap and bring people together. Father, I pray that you do that in us. God, make us those kind of people and that kind of church, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.